If you've been down on Main Street in the last few days, on the corner of 2nd and Main, you might have noticed something taking shape on the exterior corner wall of the Friendship Center. It's hard to miss, and that's the point.
We really, really wanted to work on the happiness and healing. So we do have the sun and the rays, and within the rays we have the symbols of the family members that are lost and gone and missing, and we wanted to showcase those symbols to show the life that they did have.
This is Amanda Hugon of the Stalo Nation. She's also a member of the Raven Taquara Collective, a group of artists and one of four currently painting the mural.
For this particular project, we've been through a lot. Like at the beginning, it was really emotional to listen to the stories and help translate that as proper and as necessary as we needed to share those stories and how important it was for the families. But not just the families, the generations to come, because we know that it's not going to be something that's going to be washed off the wall next year. So we felt it was really, really important to showcase the symbols and the clans, the crest, the rays, the colors were really important, right? So to do that, and to be an Indigenous woman and being able to do that. And I guess growing up, I could say that it's not like something I was proud to say that I was, that, right? To be Indigenous growing up, it's not like I didn't have that pride, whereas now is the time to showcase that and be that, right? And to be able to work with other Indigenous people and then showcase and share that art is so important for us. And to be able to work on this project, it's extra important, and it's pretty amazing. And now is the time to do that. Like, it's so important.
So Sai Sozi Stephanie Anderson, Wet'suwet'en Ha'asten, Lak'siliu Dista. My name is Stephanie Anderson. I'm Wet'suwet'en from the Lak'siliu clan. I currently live in Terrace, but right now we're working in our Gidimden Yinta in Smithers, BC. And we're painting a mural on the Delcant Friendship Center. It's been quite the project and works for about 2 years now.
Stephanie Anderson is another member of the Raven Taquara Collective, along with Travis Hebert and Facundo Gastiazoro. Stephanie is also Wet'suwet'en woman. She said working on the project brought her closer to her community.
Since I started doing this art form, I've wanted to connect with my community and connect with the families within my nation. And when my collective approached me with this project, I was so excited for the opportunity to get to know them. And once we started going through the workshops, you know, these are really intimate stories, really emotional stories, and I was just so happy to have the support as we went through, you know, all of the memories and their stories and of these events that happened. You know, it gave me an opportunity to work on my own healing, because I'm related to some of these women that went missing. So it was pretty big. It was a really big thing that we did all together. And just humbling to go into these workshops and just listen and absorb and really just take yourself out of the situation and take it all in, which was really huge.
The At the Heart Project mural will honor the lives and legacies of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls from the communities of Smithers, Whitsett, and the surrounding areas situated along Highway 16, also known as the Highway of Tears. But the whole project isn't just about a mural. It's a healing journey for the families. One of the key goals of the project is to ensure families can move through a trauma-informed process to commemorate their loved ones. Throughout 2020, Delcant Friendship Center held a series of healing trauma-informed workshops for the families with Indigenous-focused complex trauma facilitator Sandra Harris, which provided a body-centered land-based healing approach. The Raven Taquara Collective attended each of the workshops to witness the family's stories and hear their healing journey. The artists then worked with the families throughout 2020 to co-create the mural design during online workshops due to COVID-19. But through this project, organizers hope to support local families of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and bring the communities, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, closer together to honor the women and girls and their families and to help them heal.
I'm Brenda June Wilson. I live on the Lake Lake Dene Nation, and that's also known as Prince George.
Brenda's sister Ramona went missing 27 years ago. Brenda has been raising awareness about the Highway of Tears, advocating, remembering, and honoring her sister and others ever since.
Well, my sister was murdered in 1994 in Smithers, and her remains were found out by the Smithers Airport 10 months later in April 1995. So we had done search parties, and we were one of the first families to bring, I guess, major awareness to the fact of the young ladies that were going missing along Highway 16. There were other young ladies that went missing prior to Ramona, and nothing had been done in regards to their disappearance, nor were they being heard. We weren't being heard either, but we continued on and made it known what was going on here in northern BC. We reached out to many different organizations, Carrie Sicani, which really assisted in bringing attention to the missing and murdered through the Highway of Tears campaign. And so we really had a difficult time bringing that awareness due to racism, due to, you know, other barriers that were in our way. There was no organization or anything that was experienced in missing and murdered. So there was no place to really turn in regards to that situation. So we pretty much had to do everything on our own. There was no Facebook, you know, or anything like that. And our family always felt we weren't taken seriously in regards to bringing attention to Ramona's case and many of the other cases, which we later found out that, you know, there was nothing being done in regards to their cases either. And until we, you know, started standing out on the highway and doing vigils and, you know, splattering the town with posters, black and white posters, because back then there wasn't a lot of technology available in regards to doing up posters for missing and murdered, except from the police station, and that, you know, we didn't always have the means to do posters. So what we have done, you know, throughout the years, we've had to fundraise, we've had to do this and that to bring attention to her case.
There are at least 27 cases associated with the Highway of Tears. Some estimates are as high as 50. Dozens of women have been murdered or disappeared along the Highway 16 corridor in northern BC between Prince George and Prince Rupert. Most are still unsolved. Many of the women are of Indigenous descent. And the reality is, Indigenous women in Canada are 4 times as likely to be murdered than non-Native Canadian women. The National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls launched in September 2016. According to the Inquiry's backgrounder, between the years of 1980 and 2012, Indigenous women and girls represented 16% of all female homicides in Canada, while constituting only 4% of the female population in Canada. The inquiry completed and presented its public findings on June 3rd, 2019. But these are not just cases. These are people, as Brenda said. Daughters, sisters, mothers, cousins, aunts. Northwest BC is far too familiar with these tragedies. But honoring and remembering their lives is part of the path to healing, and art is another conduit to get there.
As this mural goes up, and as the families were included in this. It was, you know, it was very emotional that we were finally heard. People were listening to us, to the families. It was one of the things that we had lobbied for, was that families be a part of any of these murals that were going to go up, and that we had input into the development of it. So it wasn't going to be just the artists that were doing whatever they wanted. They involved us and they listened to us. And it is a collaboration from the families and the artists and the organization. So it's very, it means a lot more when everybody is involved. So I'm quite pleased with how it's going to turn out. And for the family members, we've already had that view of, you know, the mural. And so it's going to be amazing when we see it all put together and in life form once we're there. And, you know, we're all invited to be there when the unveiling happens. And, you know, that's all we ever asked for. That's all I ever lobbied for, was to ensure that families were always involved in every details of events, of protocols in regards to MMIWG. I've always been, I guess, an advocate that always involves the families, letting them know when events are happening in regards to their well-being. So, it's been a long journey of 27 years, and since 2006 with the symposium in Prince George, and now it has taken this long to, you know, finally feel like we're being listened to in regards to the recommendations from the public inquiry, from the symposium, from the Truth and Reconciliation. You know, many of the recommendations that have been brought forward today stems from the recommendations from what we had here in 2006 in Prince George, the Lake Lituane, and Carisakani came together to bring, you know, those recommendations forward. And there was 33 recommendations. And we're really pleased, even though it takes a long time to bring all this forward. I am ecstatic that, you know, we're starting to move forward, and I hope to see more of the recommendations implemented in regards to the safety in all our communities. And the biggest one, you know, we're dealing with the residential school findings of the little ones, and it's, you know, everybody's grieving, and that's just on top of, you know, the missing and murdered that we see today. And how they treated these little children is very similar to how we've been treated all these years while we've been looking for our loved ones, you know. And our family is so grateful that we're able to find our loved ones, you know, Ramona, and because there are many families that haven't found their loved ones. I hope that this brings awareness, a lot more awareness to all the young women that are missing and the men that are missing from our communities, and that more services will be provided to, you know, to ensure that we keep our families safe. Because I used to have a program that, you know, after school programs within the Friendship Center, and we used to bring the children out and do stuff with them. And, you know, it was very heartbroken when this program ended. you know, our youth need to know where they belong and where they come from, and, you know, that they have a future so that they don't fall into any of these, you know, I don't know how to explain it, the downfalls in our society, you know, so they don't fall into any of those. They don't fall through the cracks, that they're all always taken care of, and that we have those services available to do that all the time. So I did my hope. Sorry. My hope for the monument is that it will bring awareness to what has been going on, you know, with the people that have been missing or murdered, that it will bring more awareness that, you know, someone will come forward in the cases that haven't been solved, such as Ramona's case. Her case hasn't been solved, and it's been 27 years. Same with Jessica and Delphine, Cecilia. All these young ladies are still missing from our community. Well, not Jessica. She was found, but still there is injustice in her case also. So, you know, we need this monument to bring awareness about these cases, and that these are real people and they live in the community of Smithers. You know, it's not just a fable. It's not just a story. These were people that we loved and cared for.
As I mentioned earlier, one of the key pillars to the project was the trauma-informed workshops that many families of victims participated in to help them heal and grieve. Indigenous Focusing Complex Trauma facilitator Sandra Harris provided the body-centered land-based healing experience to help with families' healing journey.
A few years ago, actually, the Friendship Center, Dalkant Friendship Center, reached out and asked me if I would be interested in helping out. They were putting in a proposal and they were wanting somebody that could work with the families around this very sensitive matter around missing and Indigenous murdered women and girls and boys. And if I would be willing to help lead the families through a series of workshops to help create and identify a mural to commemorate our loved ones. And so I said, yes, for sure. And I like to take a community development approach to all my work. And so that usually means there's a series of engagements. So we drafted up a process, you know, first coming together and creating some collectiveness around each of the families, as each family is so unique and each family member is so unique. And so just creating a space for truth telling, sharing our truth, witnessing to help us grieve and help us mourn the tremendous losses, the tragedies that our families have suffered. And in some cases, that's been generations. And so just to be very gentle and respectful of that, and how we can sit together, lift each other up or hold each other up, and how art can be a healer to help us move through our grief and our mourning. And grief is a lifelong process, so there's no start and end date. This is just one part of our journey. The training I've done is around somatic healing, body-centered healing. And because it's an Indigenous model or modality, healing modality, we really draw on the elements of the yinta, the land, to help us move through our upset, our trouble, and help us connect back into ourselves and help see the goodness, the resources that our ancestors might have left us and that the land provides for us, to help our body release some of that hurt, some of that tension, some of that pain that might have been there for, you know, decades. And that's the teaching, is that, you know, the hurt that I might carry is not just my hurt. It might be my mom's, my granny's, in my family, because we come from a collective place. We don't come from an individual place. And so being very gentle with that and helping people see how much they're carrying and holding up in their own family, sometimes across families, might even be a whole community. And so that's why sometimes it feels so big and overwhelming, is the collectiveness is there, and also the intergenerational. So missing and Indigenous murdered women is usually around violence and racism. It's around not being safe in your community. And there's been long-standing issues in the North around women's safety, girls' safety. And it's been here since the 50s, 40s, 1940s and 50s, at least. And, you know, we have dozens and dozens of women and girls, men and boys that have been harmed. And so we just want to be very gentle with that, to recognize that this is a pressing matter. It's a very, very important one. And it's also a difficult one. And I hate to use the word difficult. I like to use the courageous conversation. How can we use our courageous conversations, creating some space where we can gently sit together and witness and hear each other's story? And story not being, a book. It's about the truth telling and understanding the hurt and the pain that people are carrying. And we do that with much love and kindness of the land, ancestors, our family, our culture provides. And so the artists are in the session with us. I believe we had three sessions, and they listened. They listened to the family share, you know, what it was they loved the most about their loved one that's gone. Some have been found and some have not. And so there's still that uncertainty of our people that are still not accounted for. And so they tried to capture, what it was. It was a smile, their color, their favorite colors, you know, something about their being that they love so much and also that they missed. And so we would do a different experientials to help remember the goodness, remember the thing that made them so unique and special, and to honor that love today and every day. And that's an ongoing relation with that person.
One of the recommendations from the National Inquiry into Missing Indigenous Women and Girls was to establish a commemoration fund. The Federal Department for Women and Gender Equality established the fund, which provides about $10 million over 2 years to help honor the lives and legacies of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. When the idea of a mural was floated at the Dzalkan Friendship Center, they jumped at the opportunity.
The Dzalkan Friendship Center has been supporting the local families of missing and murdered in our community for many, many years, and was involved in the inquiry. The Smithers hearings were held at the Dzalkan Friendship Center and was supported by our staff. So when the call was announced for this fund, it was a pretty natural progression that we would put forward an application or at least start to consider one.
This is Lydia Howard, a project coordinator and the Housing and Economic Development Advisor for the Dzalkan Friendship Center.
We began thinking about what kind of initiative we might like to do for this community and for the families in this community. The fund is not prescriptive, so some communities have put forward relays or totem poles. So basically communities were able to come up with whatever they felt would work in that community. So pretty early on, the idea of a mural was put on the table. And I remember I was sitting with our executive director, Annette Morgan, and she said, what about on our building? So we started thinking about what that would be, and we have a big building in downtown Smithers, and we thought about the impact of that. And So the next thing we really felt is that our project would be family-led, so it would only be done if the families wished to see this happen. And so we reached out to the families in both Smithers and Whitsett that we had connections with, and once we established that they felt that a mural would be something that they would like to participate in to honour their family members, we put together a proposal, and we were successful, and I think we heard in June 2019. And we began our project in the beginning of 2020, right in the height of COVID. And so, yeah, that's how it really came about. And we've been working with the families on this project ever since that time. I would say, as someone that's been involved with this process throughout the project, that this process is as important and as beautiful as the mural that's come out of it. What the community is seeing that's being painted right now is the result of a very personal and beautiful process that the families went through. So the families last year came together in workshops that we hosted at the Zelkamp Friendship Centre Hall. And we had a lot of interest from families, and we had COVID to deal with. And so we had family groups. Like, we did each workshop, we split the families up into groups because of COVID. And we had Sandra Harris, our trauma-informed practitioner. She was leading the families through their healing process with her land-based and body-centered techniques. And so basically she was helping the families move through a process and share their stories and their love for their family members. All of our artists that are painting the mural right now were present at the workshops, sitting there and listening and hearing the stories, and then taking those, those sketching, they were, writing words down and that kind of thing, and basically interpreting what they heard into imagery.
We do have feathers and dragonfly butterflies, but we also have the medicinal plants of the wild rose, we have the cedar bough, we have some Indian paintbrush, just the medicinal plants to help us heal and help us learn and be. And then we will be showcasing colors, the colors on the rays, to showcase the favorite colors of the women that are missing. And to add that personal touch, as well as the symbols. We do have an owl up there as well. But we've also included some beadwork on the dresses, some regalia pieces, the white, the leather fringe. So everything on there is, like Stephanie said, strategically placed, and the personality of all of these people are put onto one wall, which is a little bit challenging to do, but it's heartwarming and amazing to showcase and see that it's going on there, and it we're pretty proud of it, so we hope everyone else can enjoy it as well. We do have the Wall of Sadness as well, which is along the backside, which hosts the moon for the emotions, and it is quite emotional and quite sad, as well as we have the bears to represent the land and the territory we are on and to honor that, and then there's going to be some rain just to help represent the sadness and the dark times. And then when you look at the walkway, when you go in, there's an alcove, and we're gonna have trees standing tall and proud. And those are the family members that are still standing and proud to be who they are. But the cut trees that are at the bottom are to represent the lives that are cut short, and to showcase that, they're gone.
I'm also so thankful that this is a healing piece, that we are able to facilitate some form of healing, and to be able to document it and to really show that we have something to look forward to. Like, in the theme of our mural, it wasn't just about our past or what was happening now, but we wanted to show new growth, that we were looking forward to a strong generation to come with healing and new growth with our babies and our children that are coming.
As someone that's been involved in the process, when I look at the mural, the first thing I'm thinking about is the families. And I'm thinking about them because they helped create this mural. They are they have advocated for their family members for many, many years. They have many unanswered questions and they'll always be grieving. And this mural is for them and it was designed by them. So I hope the first people I think about when I'm asked about what will people feel, I think about the families, and I hope that whatever they need to get out of it in terms of healing, they're getting that from it, whatever it is that they need, and it'll be different for every one of them. So yeah, I am thinking about them. But in terms of the broader community, everyone will feel something different when they see the mural. And I think that's the amazing thing about art, is that it reminds us that we might all be looking at the same thing, but we're seeing something different because we're all different, right? And that's a really great reminder for us that we all have a different worldview and we all have a different story. So when we look at something, we're all going to see something different. And I think that's really important with public art in particular. But for the broader community, I hope that it creates space to honour the women and girls, an opportunity for our community to acknowledge the impact of these losses and for what it is to live on the Highway of Tears, and to really acknowledge that. On behalf of the Zelkamp Friendship Centre Society, I would like to acknowledge our funders, the Department of Women and Gender Equity. This project would not be possible without the support of the funders. All activities of the project have been funded through this grant we received through the MMIWG Commemoration Fund. I personally would like to also acknowledge Annette Morgan, our Executive Director, and the Zelkamp Friendship Centre Board of Directors for their strategic leadership and support throughout this project. A project like this can't happen without a strong team behind it. So acknowledgement to our entire staff, and specific acknowledgement to our At The Heart project team, specifically Elmira Sanati Nia for her coordination and dedication to making this project a success. I would also like to acknowledge the artists for their amazing dedication to the process. They went above and beyond, and it's very much evident in the work that they've produced. And Sandra Harris, our trauma-informed facilitator, who guided the families through a lot of love and support throughout the design co-creation process. And lastly, and most importantly, the families who have dedicated their time and their support for this project. Without their commitment, this beautiful mural would not have been produced.
The mural is set to be unveiled with a ceremony later this summer, but in a few days you'll be able to witness the commemoration of those we've lost. But it is also meant to celebrate their lives. Brenda Wilson wants to remember her sister Ramona as she was, not just as a victim of the Highway of Tears.
I can see her, a piece of her, in every single one of my nieces and nephews and my children. And it's, you know, she is so full of life, and she just loved to tease us and, you know, joke around and dance. She strived to be the best that she could be, you know. She always wanted to do everything perfectly, but also, you know, to have fun doing that. And she brought so much life to our family. She was the youngest, and she just, you know, always made us laugh and, you know, lots of hugs. And she always loved to, you know, fix my brothers, all my brothers. her older brother's hair, you know, put elastic bands and stuff in them and just always be joking with them. And, you know, it was so much fun, you know, that she brought so much light to our life and to our home. And yeah, really miss her, but at the same time, like I said, I can see her in our children and our, my grandchildren, her nieces and nephews. It's a good thing.
Hey, oh, hey, oh, oh, oh.
This is Molly Wickham singing the Wet'suwet'en Women's Water Song at the opening ceremonies at the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls in Smithers in 2017. If you want to learn more about the At the Heart Mural Project, visit zelcant.com, or to learn more about the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls and read the final report and recommendations, visit mmiwg-ffada.ca. Thanks for listening.